an interview with Mrs. Anna Walker in connection with a project of Eastern Wyoming College on homesteading and ranching in Goshen County. Mrs. Walker, would you give us your full name?
Anna C. Walker.
Mrs. Walker, what brought you to this area originally?
Well, we were farmers in Platte County, Nebraska, and the first 4 years we paid one-third crop rent to the landlord. Then he raised to two-fifths of crop, so my husband said he could not manage to pay so much and keep up expenses, taxes, insurance, seed, and feed for 8 or 10 head of horses the year round and buy the needed farm machinery. So the talk came up about homesteading. First, South Dakota, they had a drawing there. And that was a drawing, and that had to be lucky. So then the talk of Wyoming came up. My husband and a couple of other men from Monroe made a trip out to Van Tassel, and it looked pretty bare, and they were taken south towards Torrington, and the agent took them out into a Negro settlement, and my husband said he would not take his two little boys out to settlement like that to grow and go to school and mingle with colored folks. He just didn't like dark colored folks. So he came back home to gather his corn crop, so did not get back until February. And then they had 5 to 6 feet of snow, so he visited Torrington, Wheatland, and got back to Cheyenne and came home. Then later went back to Torrington and filed on a piece of land near Kessler Gap. And when we got moved out there and they lined it out, most of it was up on the rim, and he wanted farmland, so he drove his team of mules to Cheyenne and relinquished that land and came home, filed on a 320-acre piece near Red Bill Mountain, 8 miles west and 3 miles south of where Yoder is now.
When was this, Mrs. Walker?
That was in 1915. And south of where Yoder is now. I guess I said that. Mr. Eiler located him there, and they hired Mr. Oscar Hill to take them to Torrington because he had a Ford and cars were scarce then. And we moved out there in the spring of 1915 and moved to place in the summer and started build our house.
Had you been here when you were at Kessler Gap too? Had you joined your husband there also?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then you moved with him to the new homestead.
Let me see. We lived in a little 10-by-12 shack for a while until we made cement blocks and built our house 24 by 24 feet and one story.
Did your husband build that himself?
Yes, he built that himself. They made the blocks themselves over on Horse Creek. And dug a well and fenced the place, broke up a small piece of land and planted corn. And in 3 years, we proved up on the, and received the deed to the 306 acres. We were short 14 acres because we were on the end of the township. And that's the first question.
What were living conditions like?
Well, living conditions were a little short sometime. We had to drive team and wagon to Torrington, 30 miles.
Was that your closest town?
Mm-hmm. Either 2 nights and 1 day or 2 days and 1 night. and Mr. Walker would put horses in livery barn and sleep up in the loft on hay, and sometime eat in hotel, and sometime just buy something for lunch and eat on very on way driving home.
Did you go with him on
no,
these trips?
No, I didn't get to go to town. And he would go down to the river where they were farming and get money for our winter living. Would be gone 1 or 2 weeks sometimes from Lingle down to Haig, Nebraska. Grain harvest, potatoes, and harvest beets. And
so he would work to get
so
that
extra
money.
So he would work that, and then he would pick up potatoes and things like that, you know, and bring home from the store for winter.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I've got on that question.
So things were pretty difficult at
yes,
times.
Yes, they were.
Money was short, I
yeah.
guess. What do you remember about the crops and the farming in those early days?
Well, we didn't have much ground broke up yet for farming, but finally planted some corn and wheat and bought machinery and worked for some of the neighbors, and they would work for us. We only had horse machinery. The tractors hadn't come in use yet. I guess that's all on that.
Okay. What were the crops that you raised?
Well, it was corn and oats, and we raised some potatoes at first, and then we got started to breaking more land and got started in wheat then. So that's where we got started in wheat farming.
Uh-huh. Where did you take your crops to market then? Or did
to Torrington. I was 30 miles that he'd
haul
that. Of course, we didn't have too much to sell then yet because
uh-huh.
we didn't have so much.
Did you also have a garden?
Oh, yes, I had a garden. Generally had a good garden, but I had to carry the water to it when it was dry. Of course, some years we had plenty of rain, didn't need it.
Did you also have chickens and
yes,
cows?
Yes, we had three cows, and we had chickens, and we had a few hogs. So we had our own meat and our own milk and butter and everything
mm-hmm.
like that.
Did you butcher for yourself?
Yes, we done our own butchering, carrying our own meat, things
mm-hmm.
like that.
What about early ranching? Was there ranching in the area? And
well, no, but it the cattlemen would be running herds of cattle around in through there until we homesteaders got the place fenced. Why, then, of course, that shut them out. So then they had to arrange and fence their cattle in, too, and keep them because the range cattle were kind of wild and they'd wrecking our fences. So
you did have some problems with
we
the cattle.
We had some problems, yes. All they ranchers, they sure hated to see the homesteaders come in there. Yeah.
You had to have your land fenced, though, or else the cattle could come in and destroy
yeah.
your crop
yeah.
and you
uh-huh.
couldn't do anything
no,
about
you
it.
You couldn't do nothing about it.
You had to have
so,
a
yeah.
fence.
And, of course, then that way, that made us, we didn't have no roads. We just went across country, you know, and had gates to open and things like that. Mm-hmm. So.
That would be quite different.
Yeah.
Did just about everybody travel by horseback or horse and wagon?
Yes, that's the way we went, because there was very few cars there.
Mm-hmm. When did they begin using cars in that area, would you think?
Oh, I don't remember. I can't remember exactly when we did get our first one. It was along in 20, I think, 18 or 20, something like that.
Uh-huh.
But all along when the First World War, I think, was.
Uh-huh. Did you have problems getting places in the winter when you had to take a team or ride horseback? Was
oh,
it hard to
some,
get around?
Some, but not too much. Not too bad.
How were the children educated? What were schools like?
Well, there were no schools there. So my husband and some of the men went up. We were in the Lingle district then. Mm-hmm. And so at that time, we were in the Lingle district. So a couple of men went up there and said, we needed a school down there. So they said, go back and call a meeting. So they did. We met on a hill out of doors on a lady's homestead. So they went back to Lingle and told them they would come up and haul the lumber and things down and do the work. So we got lumber and everything for the school, 12 by 24, and the men done all the work and cementing and plastering. And my husband went back up and got desks enough for 10 children and desk for teacher and book cupboard and books for what grades were there. Mostly the younger classes, of course. There was little children.
Where was this school located?
It was located, well, about 2 miles from our place. Uh-huh. And they hired a man teacher the first year, and he lived on a homestead. And he walked 7 miles every night and morning to teach. But he was an awful good teacher. And the children done real well. His name was Mr. Bebode. I don't know what nationality he was, but he was a good teacher.
Did the children have to walk to school too, or ride horseback?
Oh, they walked. Our children walked 2 miles every night and morning, right across corner. Of course, we didn't have no roads lined out or anything.
How many children were there, do you think, to start with?
I think there was about eight or ten, something like that. I don't remember just for sure. We lived about 30 miles south of Lingle, across country, had no laid out roads. And I guess that's all I got on that question. And
well, later on, where did the children go to school? You know, as they got up high school age, would they go to Lingle?
Or? No, they went to Torrington then. The districts was divided then.
Buses came out? And
not to Torrington, to Yoder.
Oh.
Yoder was built then or started.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we had our country schools for quite a while there, even then. And we fought the buses. We thought, you know, it would be so far for the children to ride and all, but I was glad they got the buses later on then.
How did people make a living then? What were some of the different jobs they did?
Oh, they'd go away from home and work, or if they had money so they could buy machinery. Now, my husband bought a combine. No, he bought a tractor, and a neighbor bought the combine, and then the two worked together and worked and done work for the neighbors, and the neighbors would pay him, hire him
mm-hmm.
for the work they done.
Were there any stores or other?
There got to be later on. There was a Jew who had a big store here in Torrington, grocery store, some dry goods and things. And he came out there and built a store out there. So then we only had 6 miles to go to there, so we used to walk over to the store once in a while. That was right close to Old Redbill, we all call that landmark out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he had dry goods and groceries, a good supply.
Had they started working on the irrigation ditches yet?
No, not then yet, they hadn't. My husband helped some working, laying the railroad that went on through to Hot Springs and LaGrange and on through there.
Were there different nationalities of people in the
area?
Oh,
yes, there was all nationalities there. Let's see, I don't know where I got. We had all kinds of nationalities, but we all talked American except a couple of bachelors. They were Hungarians, and they didn't talk very good American, and one pretty well because he used to read a lot, but couldn't very good. The other one neither could talk nor understand American.
But all the rest had been here long enough to talk mm-hmm. it.
And there was all nationalities. Uh-huh.
Where did, as the years went on, where were the places that you traded locally?
Well, Lingle or Torrington was mostly where we traded. There was another country store in south of us called Stewart. We could go down there, but it was just they didn't have everything, but they had groceries like sugar and coffee and tea and flour and things like that.
Did you order things from the catalog, too?
Yes, we would. But we didn't get our mail so regular, and we had quite a ways to go to the post office. But we'd get it that way.
How did you keep your vegetables and foods fresh?
Well, we had that cave that he had dug.
Well, what, can you tell me about it?
Well, I think I've got it written in here. Shall I tell it now?
Yeah.
So the men would bring home potatoes and some vegetables enough to last all winter. My husband dug what they called a Russian underground cave. It was 12 feet deep and then went back in the ground about 8 or 10 feet. It never froze down there. We strained our milk in crocks and skimmed the cream by hand and churned our butter, either in a dash churn or, when we had much cream, would use a wooden barrel. We brought that with us. We didn't have separators then, and we were lucky because we had our own milk and cows. I think I wrote about that sooner.
Then in that underground cave, you stored your vegetables?
Uh-huh.
And
it was cold down there, you know, and the potatoes would keep clear. He'd bring home probably a whole wagon load of potatoes, and we'd store them in there. And if need was that our neighbors had run out, we always loaned to them and helped them out, and they'd help us out if we needed something.
Where did you keep things like, milk and cream and butter or meat?
Well, we had that down in that cave
down there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you remember about politics at that time? Were people interested?
Well, I don't know. Politics wasn't much of a question then. We didn't have no papers to mount anything, and we didn't read very much. And of course, they didn't have ladies. Wasn't supposed to. They didn't have what you call it. Women didn't vote at that time.
Mm-hmm. So the men probably did vote.
Yes, if they had election, they did. But of course, we didn't have election to begin with right away.
Do you remember any unusual weather conditions or problems?
Oh, yes, we had awful blizzards and storms there sometimes. Some people would lose cattle. There was one man that they said he had just turned out for the spring. We thought the spring had set in, you know, and it would be summer. And he turned out 65 head, and when the storm was over with, he only had 5 head left. They laid along a fence dead, you know. Oh, it was terrible.
You tried to get prepared for the storms?
Well, we generally had something prepared and had it, and we had sheds so we could put ours inside and take care of them. Everybody didn't have that much, but let's see.
sometimes I guess you were snowed in for a few days.
Oh, yes. A storm and weather got better. But we usually tried to be prepared. When the storm let up and the weather got better, a couple or three men would hitch two teams on a wagon and go to Torrington and take two or three days and bring back enough groceries to help out all the neighbors. Hmm. When we got for one, why, we helped each other. Mm-hmm. We bought sugar and flour and such as that in 100-pound sacks, and coffee and tea in large amounts. Hmm. Of course, all the folks were not as lucky as we were with cows and hogs and chickens, and people would hunt rabbits and birds, and we would help those in need sometime. Mm-hmm. Finally, a Jew that had a store in Torrington came out near Old Redbill and built a store about 8 miles west of where Yoder is now, and we could get help by walking 5 or 6 miles. Mm-hmm. He had groceries and some everyday common clothing, overalls, socks, and some underclothes, and thread and cotton and material for dresses, and used some school supplies. He had some school supplies, mm-hmm. too, then. And then a man and his wife and son came from Colorado and built a blacksmith shop. Mm. That helped the men when they needed plowshares sharpened and were plowing the prairie, getting ready for farming, and get some of the machinery welded when broken.
That's so the blacksmith worked more on machinery there than your horses, did
he? Yeah. Well, he worked to repair, you know, and plowing that land. Of course, there's rocks in the land and things, and it was hard on their plowshares, plow lays, or whatever you call it. And so that way they had to have them sharpened quite often.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the weather for a minute, did you have problems with wind?
Oh, yes, the wind blew, but then we thought that was natural, so we didn't think anything about it. That's why my husband built a cement house, block house, because he said, I never would stay in bed when we had a storm. I always had to get up and see what the storm was doing. And you never could hear that cement house rock like you would a wooden building.
Did you have any especially dry years?
Well, not that I can remember that is not unusual. Mm-hmm. It was enough there, moisture there, so we had grass for the stalk teas and things. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have rainstorms that caused any flooding?
Well, yes, but the land was just a little rolling where we were, so it didn't bother us there. We was far enough away from the creeks and rivers and things.
Can you remember any especially interesting people in the area?
No, we all seem to be all in the same class of people, homesteaders and farmers.
So everybody got along pretty well.
Yeah, sometime we had a little disagreement, but we all got over it again. Yeah.
Can you ever remember any crime or violence or
no.
problems in no. that? Everybody trusted?
Yeah, that's right. I guess I missed 14 there. What was that?
Well, especially humorous things you can remember that happened. Can you think of any funny experiences in those years?
Oh, I suppose there was, but I just don't think of it right now. Uh-huh.
What did people do for amusement or entertainment?
Well, when we first settled on the homestead and got acquainted, we used to have birthday parties and anniversary celebrations, and after we got schoolhouses, we used to have dances. When we got organs and found some men who could play the violin or guitar or accordion or something, mm-hmm. we would fix beds for our children, and we would dance and have lunch and make coffee on the school stove and have good times until we got tired. Then hitch our horses to the lumber wagon and go home. We hardly ever go more than 6 or 8 miles from home, though, in the winter. The horses would get pretty cold and want to travel pretty fast, but we never had any accidents. Of course, we kind of doubled up too, so one neighbor going by another one would pick up part of them, so we'd mm-hmm. double up that way too. And then finally, after we had the school, our school was moved back up close to our place, because that was about 2 miles, because the most of the children was right in that neighborhood. So, and then we started Sunday school and church, and missionaries came to the community and organized it, and then would send a minister whenever he could. Mr. Roy Brewer, our minister for several years, was our minister for several years. And then we were interested in that and had more children. I was secretary, and Mrs. Oscar Hill and I were superintendents for 23 years out there.
Now, did you have a church building or meet in the
school? We used that schoolhouse. let me see, where was it? Oh, yeah. And I would nearly always board the school teacher because we lived near the schoolhouse. 1 year I boarded 3 school teachers. I doubled up my kids on beds and things, you know, inside. And then I give up the one bedroom to the girls. And then we had a closed-in porch. And I had a bed out there where I put the boy in with one of my boys.
Did the teachers come from all over?
Oh, yes. They was from different ones, from Torrington and from Fort Laramie and different places. I got here. The schoolhouse was moved 2 miles nearer our place mm-hmm. a few years later. Mm-hmm. Then when it was built, because the children were more in that locality. Mm-hmm. And after the school buses took over, the district left the school there to be used for church and Sunday school. They didn't move it as long as we kept church and Sunday school. Of course, then when we got to moving away from there, we'd sell our places, you know, move away and change location, and the children growed up and all, and went on the buses to Yoder. So then finally, this Floyd Peace, you probably know who he is, mm-hmm. he finally bought it and moved it over on his homestead north of Veteran, and had it for a Mexican shack for them to mm-hmm. live in, to take care of his feet and things. And that's, I guess, all I've got on here.
Did they finally build a church building out there? Would it have been
no,
at Yoder?
No, they didn't. We finally got, so we went into Yoder. Mm-hmm. Yoder had a church, and mm-hmm. we'd go in there and go to church and Sunday school. Mm-hmm. That was about 12 miles, but it wasn't bad when a person had a car. Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Walker, what did you use for heating when you were first homesteading?
Well, when we were first homesteading, we used to go up in the hills and cut wood and burn wood. And after a while, of course, so many moving in there, it got so there wasn't no wood to cut. So then we had to think of other things. We even went out and picked up cow chips and dried them and burned them. But they worked all right, only they made a lot of ashes and carrying out ashes out of our cook stoves and things.
Did you ever use fireplaces too, or just the stoves?
Just the stoves, uh-huh. Yeah.
What was your water supply?
Well, we had a well on our place. Nearly everybody did have a well. They generally made a well the first thing so they'd have water.
Did they ever run dry, or?
Well, sometime they would kind of pump dry for a little bit if the mill would run too fast. We had windmills to do the pumping.
How did you do your washing?
On the board. I had one tub and a washboard, and then I had a big stone jar that we had brought meat in. Jar to rinse my clothes in, and rubbed them on the board and the tub, hung them on the line.
How about cooking? Was it pretty much the same as it is now?
Oh yes, I think so. Yeah.
Did you do a lot of canning?
No, we didn't do much canning because we didn't get to town to get anything, but I had a lot of canning that I brought with me, so that way why it held out pretty good.
Did you, when your husband came to town for supplies like potatoes and things, did he buy canned goods too, other than
sometime
coffee?
He would if we thought we needed it, but of course after we got to growing gardens, why then I would do some canning because I'd have my empty cans left from what I brought out there.
Did you have an orchard?
No, We did plant trees. We worked pretty hard on planting or getting those trees started there. I planted the trees, and then I took a post hole digger and dug a round hole, and every night I'd carry water and fill that hole with water. Got my trees started. I did get some good trees started out there.
Were they cottonwoods mostly?
No, they were these Chinese elms.
Where did you get your mail?
Well, it was called the Miller Post Office, and it had been moved a time or two. It finally landed up at a homestead there. Their name was Elmer Wilson's. It wasn't so far away then, but when the Miller Post Office was there, it was one that was started before we got out there. And then someone would bring the mail out once or twice a week. And then we'd go whenever it was possible and get it, either a horseback or walk or drive a team and wagon.
And so it really just came once or twice a week
it
to the post office?
To begin with. And then later on, it'd come three times a week. They'd come out one day and then go back one day.
Did that come out of Cheyenne?
No, out of Torrington. The old fellow that carried the mail, his name was Thompson. And he was father to the man that married Stella Thompson here. He carried it.
Did he come up horseback?
No, he had a team and a spring wagon. And sometime, if people who'd come from the east to visit us homesteaders there, they'd get to ride out with him sometime. He'd bring them out.
Did you have telephones?
Well, we did. After we was out there a while, we made telephones on our wire fences, you know. And we had telephone. We had 8 or 10 telephones there. And sometime we could all talk at one time if we wanted to, if we happened to be listening. But each one had their own ring, you know, so we knew who was talking and when they were talking.
Did that work pretty well?
It worked pretty good, Yeah. And And then when they got radios, why, they one would say they had a good program on the radio, and then we'd all listen while we'd hear some certain radio going. Of course, there wasn't only just once in a great while we had a radio.
When did they get electricity out there?
Well, no, I don't know. I suppose it was batteries. That is, the telephone,
yes,
was batteries.
Right.
Uh-huh. I suppose that was what it was.
But electricity didn't come out until
later. No, there was no. Oh, yeah, that was quite a bit later. Mm-hmm. After they got electricity, of course, then everybody had telephones,
mm-hmm,
and electric lights and things like that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier about the dances and having organs and things to play. These were the old pump organs, weren't they?
Yeah, you treadled them.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Did people like to sing? Did they do any group singing? Or?
Oh, yes, some, but it just happened to be, you know, if we happen to have a party or something like that, or celebrating somebody's birthday or something.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember any of the songs that they used to like to sing in the early days?
Oh, it was those army songs at that time, war songs, Tipperary, and oh, I don't know. I did used to have a few of them, but I haven't got them anymore.
What was the longest time that you were away from a town?
Well, about 14 months is the longest time that I was near a railroad town. But there was one time, my husband used to try to make arrangements for me to go back to Platte County to see my folks, you know, and family.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd try to manage for me to go every 2 years, if possible, and take the little boys if it wasn't school. And one time, though, it was 10 years that I didn't see any of my folks. And oh, I was so homesick, I was almost sick.
Did the neighbors do quite a lot of visiting back and forth?
Oh, yes. We used to visit back and forth. I and the two little boys, my husband had a brother that lived 5 miles from where we did. And it was nothing for us to hit out in the morning and walk clear down there 5 miles and visit all day and then come back in the afternoon.
How big would the boys have been then?
Well, when we first come here, they was 4 and 5. And then they growed older and then they got to going to school. So Alan was 8 years old when he started school. He was the oldest one. And he graduated out of the 8th grade in 6 years. He was a bright scholar. Well, the other one, Wallace, was too, but then he was just a little slower than Alan. And whenever they'd be playing or doing anything, we always used to laugh. And if Alan did something that he thought was pretty great, why, Wallace, he'd say, "Me too, me too."
What did the boys do for amusement or for fun?
Oh, they either made them some kind of a sled or some kind of a cart. They'd get an old buggy, you know, and take the wheels. And we lived close to an old Badland, they called it. And they'd go down there and let that buggy take them down the long hills in the Badlands. Or if it was in the wintertime, they'd have the sleds, you know, and sleigh ride down there. They
were
used to have a lot of fun.
Were you bothered by snakes? Did you have
any snakes?
Oh,
there was snakes there, all right, but nobody was ever bit by them. That is in our locality.
What did you tell me the boys did when they'd go after the cows?
They'd walk out there. Our pasture was pretty long. It was about pretty near a mile, and they'd walk out there, and then when they got the bunch, why, they had a little black and white heifer that they had broke to ride, and they'd ride the heifer and she'd stay behind the cows and chase them like a pony would. We finally got them a pony, though, so they had a pony to ride.
What did people do when they had problems of sickness or needed a doctor?
Well, we all tried to kind of have preparations for anything that would be necessary for, like, colds or anything like that. We'd do the best we could, or we'd have to go a horseback down into the older settled district, and they had telephones, and then they'd call the doctor, and the doctor would come out.
So usually you could get a doctor in case of...
I was called lots of times to come if some little child was sick with a bad cold or pneumonia or anything. I remember there was one little boy was an awful sick boy, and they come and wanted me to come over, and I went over there, and I used onion poultice and give him laxatives and things, and I pulled him out of it so he got all right. And I brought two babies to the world. It was all born and dressed and clean before the doctor got there. So I don't know whether I had more nerve to try things than the rest of them, but they'd always come for me to come and help them.
Did you have any of your children born while you were out there on the
homestead? Oh, yes, the three girls was born there, but you see, Wallace was 10 years old before Ruth Esther was born. Mm-hmm. And then she was 5 years old when Annabeth was born, and then she was 9 years old when Greta was born, and Greta was 25 years younger than Alan was. She says Alan and Wallace always seemed like uncles to her instead of brothers. They were only 18 months apart, so they grew up together.
Did you have the doctor come out when your children were born?
Yes. We called a doctor, and we had a nurse that lived there in the neighborhood, and she was there. Well, Greta was born here in Torrington. We come in here, and they had a, what kind of home, you know, where babies...
Oh, just kind of a maternity...
Maternity home, uh-huh. And I can't think what her name was, though, that we went... They lived down west of that park, way south there. But I can't think what her name was. So when I went to, or when I come there, I knocked on the door, and she said, I said, Dr. Davis sent me there to go to bed because I was sick. And she says, well, what's the occasion? Well, I says, I'm going to have a baby. Why, she went to the kitchen and she told this landlady about it, and she said, I think she's crazy. She don't look like she's going to have no baby. 9 o'clock the next morning, I had a girl.
You mentioned that you raised wheat. How did they do that at first, and then how did it change?
Well, at first, they plowed up the ground, of course, and cultivated it and got it in shape, and then they would sow wheat in the fall, and of course then they worked it up into strips, so they just farmed every other strip, you know, each year. Mm-hmm. And we had pretty good years, but of course we didn't have too many acres to begin with, and one time we had just... That was before we got the combine. We had just headers. We just headed it and stacked the grain, and then had a thrasher thrash it, come in and thrash it. Mm-hmm. And the lightning struck, and we lost 4 big stacks of wheat. That was a piece of bad luck.
Yes.
But it wasn't all. We had other places. We had our rented ground, you know, from homesteaders that had been there and had left. Why, we'd rent the ground from the landlord that bought it. He didn't buy it because he wanted to live there. He bought it because he just wanted Investments, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember the first tractor that your husband got?
Yes, he got a Ford, and that was when Alan was, well, it was after Ruth was born, Ruth Esther, and I can't remember. She was born in 20. It must have been in 24. Or 26, something like that. He got the first Ford tractor and started to use that, and then they used horses too. They part of them would farm with horses and part of them would run the tractor.
How many workhorses would you have at one time?
Oh, we'd have 8, 10, 12 head. Of course, the boys was big enough, so they'd run 4 heads, you know, a piece. And one would run the tractor, and then they'd have. Then we raised colts, you know, so we had young horses that run in the pasture too.
Did you have a hay crop to?
Sometime we cut some hay, but not every year. We didn't. We used to cut these thistles and stack them. We'd scatter salt in the stack, you know, as we stacked it. Mm-hmm. And then the cattle, they just liked that hay awful well. And one time when they were stacking thistles, my husband got my daughter that lives in Indiana to come out and do the stacking while they'd unload. And, of course, them thistles were sharp. They was awful to be in there to stack. And so she'd come in, she said, "Well, I'll never marry a farmer," because she says that their hard farm work is just too much for me. And she didn't. She went to school and went to college in Denver, and then she married a soldier and went back to Indiana, so she never stacked any more thistles.
What was the wheat farming like later on?
Well, then they got combines, and then, of course, tractors or trucks, you know, to haul it. Mm-hmm. And people would come in or come out to the country from towns that had trucks, and they'd haul the grain for the farmer, but he'd have one or two trucks there to take care of it, and we'd have granaries to put it in, and if we didn't, we just unloaded it on the ground and would haul it later on.
Did they use fertilizer in those days for the crops?
No, not much, because the ground was new and fresh then and had lots of, what would you call it?
Minerals
and things in it.
How long did you live out there on the homestead?
Well, we moved on the homestead there in 1915, and we moved off in 1951. Moved in here to Torrington.
Looking back, do you think it was a hard life, or did you feel it was a hard life those years?
No, I didn't mind it. I was always used to working hard. I worked hard when I was at home. I was the oldest in a family of 8. Shuck corn and cultivate corn and things like that there all the time. So I didn't think anything about it. I just thought that was just what had to be.
We had
nice neighbors, though, and enjoyed everything.
Thank you, Mrs. Walker.